All right. Welcome back. Hope everybody got their, fix, something. You'll surely get it after the second service, that's for sure. I'm always thinking about those dogs in the original Christmas story on that turkey. Or the dad going in there trying to eat it early. Anybody eat anything early? No? You did? Yeah. That's funny. You got to watch that this year. Got to watch it every year. Anyways, here we are back. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we have together. We are constantly amazed by the work you do, you have done, and that you continue to do. We thank you for the opportunity and just the realization that we're in your family. And we look forward to the final reunion and our final destination in heaven for all eternity. We thank you for all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, made our way back here, and actually, we came from, that's right. Revelation 22:21 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." You might see a few different translations of this in your Bible, depending on the Bible you have. This is the NASB. It says, you see this version. The King James has the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't necessarily, there's obviously nothing wrong with putting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ there, right? But it is different. You know, some nuances there. Interesting, the King James version was compiled primarily by what's called the Textus Receptus. And it was built from around the 6 to 12 manuscripts around the 11th to 15th century. So think about how late that is, right? And it's still built on those. But the problem with that is we have since found thousands of other manuscripts that I would say make it more accurate. And I'm not telling you not to use King James, because it's a good book, right? It's just as good as any of them. But I will say that there has been a lot more evidence and manuscripts that have been found since the compilation of the King James Version. And I think only a small portion of the King James Version is affected by that. So, anyways, it's not anything to worry about, but it is something to note. So, here we are to the last verse in Revelation, and we have this word, here, grace. Got anybody named Grace in here today? Grace? No graces? No. The word is charis, and this is what John decided to leave us off with, a word that is very meaningful, a word that has should have a lot of meaning in our own personal lives, and I think that's why I put it here. It has meaning from God's perspective, and it has meaning from our perspective, right? In general, this word means benefit, can mean benefit, can also mean favor, or it can mean a gift. And what's interesting, when you look this word up, if you go to look this word up, you'll see a bunch of different definitions before you get to this part that says, on the part of God and Christ. That's the main part of the word. It's from God to us. Grace is definitely directional. We can't have it before we get it. We can't use it. We can't take advantage of it. We can't really think with it until we get it from God. God is the one who is gracious and who has graced us out with everything that we have today. So this is a good word. But again, you don't get that right off the bat, is what was kind of confusing to me. But I think a good place to start to see what grace is in Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20. Let's look at that. It says, the law came in so that transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So, you see, the first part of this is talking about the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law, the Law of Moses, right? And it's actually given us one of the purposes of the law. One of the purposes of the law was, I know this sounds a little bit funny, doesn't it? But so that sin or transgression would increase. Do you understand what that's saying? If you don't have a standard to live by, you don't know you're living in a wrong way, right? But now that you have a standard, God's standard that He gave Moses through the law for the people to live by, guess what they started to notice? That they were living wrong, right? So it's not necessarily that sin increased, that there was more sin, but there was more an awareness of sin at that point. So it essentially did increase, right? Because if you're aware of sin, because you can see God's standard, you say, oh, okay, I'm not doing that right. I should be doing that. Now you see more sin in your own personal life, right? That's all that's saying right there. And transgression is sin. So it illuminated their sin. Why? Because they had something to compare it to, right? But before the law, that wasn't necessarily the case. And then it says, notice that it said sin increased, but grace abounded all the more. That's obviously the better part of this verse, right? I mean, when you think about a negative and a positive of a verse, you got the sin as the negative, and you got grace as the positive right here. So, and this is just God right here. God is responding to a negative with a positive, and not just responding just to meet it. He's going above and beyond to resolve it. That's what this is really referring to. And that's why this verse is really awesome to look at, because it's showing you what grace is doing in comparison to sin. It consumed it through the cross. Jesus Christ. This is a reference to what Jesus did in response to sin. He died for the sins of the world. I would say it's a pretty big deal, right? Pretty big deal. Just a little bit, right? So that's why you see the abounded all the more there. And then verse 21 says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is cool because you can see both sides, what sin gives you and what Jesus gave us, right? Sin, death. We all know what death is. We all have to die. Why? Because you have a sin nature. Sin is deteriorating your body right now. It makes you sick. It makes you not live very long. Maybe, if you're lucky, 100 years, right? Most guys, probably 60, 70, maybe 80. I don't know. Don't guys have a lower lifespan than women? But all I'm saying is the sin nature equals death. That's what it does. And you can look at that in a lot of different ways. It equals a lot of pain and suffering too. Sin causes pain and suffering. It causes bad relationships. It causes a lot of heartache. It causes all your problems in this life. Sin is what does that. Every single problem that you have is caused by sin. If you want to trace it back, you can lead it right. Whether it's somebody else's sin or it's your sin, it doesn't matter. You bring two together, it's going to be a problem, right? And eventually that leads to death. So what this verse is saying is that God's grace took action, and it was directed toward sinful people that were going to die, and it did something about it. That's what this verse is saying. It's saying people have a sin nature, and what's comes with sin is death. And what happened? Grace came in and took over, and it said, we have another option. We have another option. That's really what the verse is talking about. So, and yes, it is overwhelming, because you've got two things that are wanting to control your life, reigning. You've got your sin nature that wants to control your life, and you've got God that wants to control your life. Reign. God wants to reign in your life, but your sin nature wants to reign and wants God out of your life. And by the way, that's everybody. That's me, that's you, that's every single person, right? So, yes, there's that internal struggle, but what I'm showing you now is that God solved the sin problem. He solved the death problem through Jesus Christ. And that's, you know, what more can you ask for, right? He calls it right here, through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the outcome of what Jesus did. He provided, he said, okay, they're going to physically die, so I'm going to give them eternal life. They're in unrighteousness, so I'm going to give them righteousness. See the complete black and white difference? Jesus is the one who came to provide these things, because he saw a sick people, he saw a dying people, and he saw a people that needed something severely bad. Very bad. We were in need. And Jesus is meeting that need. Let's keep going, because I think this is something we need to recognize every day, but we don't always do that because we're human. But it does show you that why we should live in a way that God wants us to live in, because he's given us something so much greater. When you think about what you came from and where God wants you to go, I mean, it's like he set us up for success. It's like, hey, not only are you, well, you're going to physically die, but that's not the end. You're going to live for it forever at that point. And on top of that, I've given you my spirit, so I want you to live in a way that's different from the entire world, right? Or different from a fallen, unsaved person. So when you think about how we got those things and who gave them to us, and you think, wow, they're because of the grace of God, it kind of makes you think, I need to take advantage of this stuff. You know, I need to do something with what God has given me instead of just nothing. Right? We can all live in this life. We can all go get a job. We can have a family. We can have some land. We can all strive to be the best and be successful. But at the end of the day, you got to die. I mean, that's just the reality, right? You got to die. And none of this stuff is going to come with you. None of it. You have a spiritual component that we need to focus on, right? That's what you can take with you. That's what you can take with you. And I'm not saying any of those things are necessarily bad or wrong or any of that stuff. They're all good. But include the fact that God has set you up for success in your life. When you include that fact in your life, you're not just living just to live. You're living with a purpose. You're living with a purpose. And that's everything. That is everything. So we can't forget something this big, because guess what sinners deserve? Hell. I mean, there's no way around it. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm a good person, I did this, I did that. Doesn't matter. You're born with a sin nature, and we deserve hell from the get-go. But that's where grace stepped in, right? That's where God decided to step in, because we were helpless. And I think that just magnifies the God more, and it makes us realize, okay, wow, what has he done here? Paul has something to say about this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what he says. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. This is exactly what I was just talking about, right? Not letting all the things that God has for you go to waste, right? This is a good verse because it doesn't just apply to Paul. It applies to everybody. It applies to everybody. I mean, think about it. By the grace of God, we are what we are. You may not realize that, but it's by the grace of God you are what you are. And Paul is making a point that he didn't just do, not just do anything with the grace that God graced him with. He took advantage of his gift, he put it to use, and he lived and served the Lord with the grace that God gave him. Notice he says, not only did he not let it go to waste, but he doubled down and he says, I labored even more than all of them. That's what he says. He's saying, I labored more than everybody around him, at least in his periphery, right? So he's saying he rose to the top of service for the Lord in comparison to people around him. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians who think the same thing about themselves and they sort of bask in their own labor, but they always leave off the most important part of this. Notice that Paul says he labored all the more, and at the very end, but the grace of God with me. People always leave that part off. Christians are out there running around doing all this good stuff and saying, look at me, 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 me. Look what I can do. Look how good I am. Look how moral I am. But they forget about the fact that this isn't about us. This has nothing to do with us. This has something to do with what God has given you to be able to do for Him. I mean, the reality is we can't do it without God, right? Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. And that's really the crux of this verse. When it comes to us, when it comes to Paul, he's not making this about himself. He's not making it about himself. It's easy to make the Christian life about yourself. I mean, we got churches on every corner making the Christian life about themselves. There's a lot of that out there. I mean, let's be honest, right? It's not about us. It's about God working in you, right? But it still goes back to God. So it's only by the grace of God that he is what he is, and it's by the same grace that he's able to labor in the way that he does, over and above others. And I think that's the right perspective to have for the believer. We are what we are, and we can do what we can do because of the grace of God. That's it. You know how much better of an attitude that is than thinking, you can do it on your own. You've got the drive. You've got the personality. You've got the strength. You may have it for a little bit, but let me catch you on a bad day, right? Human power and strength only go so far. Only go so far. Also, another thing about this verse that's bringing out to me is what? The humility in this verse, to recognize that it's not about me, not about Paul, but it's about the source, where these things came from, right? It's a good perspective, and it's truth, right? I mean, we're called to live by the truth. And this is kind of what should motivate, at least one of the things that should motivate the believer. When you're given this much abundance of grace that God has given us, there's the motivation to continue with it. So, and this all goes back to what we're talking about, to Jesus Christ. Look at John 1:16. I have it up here. It says, "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." It's a good verse, right? What a combination. Grace and truth. And this isn't saying that grace and truth didn't exist before Jesus. Right? It's pointing out an aspect that it was manifested through Jesus. Right? Illuminated. Brought to the earth in a body through Jesus. I mean, Jesus didn't just stay in heaven. He came to the earth to live with us. And by the way, that was the greatest act of grace that anyone or has ever done in human history, what Jesus Christ did. He didn't have to do that. I know a lot of, we as Christians, we always think, oh, that was just something that Jesus needed to do. Negative. No, it wasn't. He didn't need to do anything. He wanted to. He wanted to. That's the kicker. We say, what? He wanted to do that for me? And you? Yep. Yep. And when you think about our position in sin and saying, no, thank you, God, he still wanted to do it. He still wanted to do it. Which was the attitude that I'm explaining to you is an attitude of grace. Grace. When you're going to die for the people that are putting you to death, that's part of grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. A verse that you're all familiar with, or should be. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Same thing. Same thing. We can't do anything to change our position, our status before God, unless God intervenes. Well, there's your intervention. Right here. It's right there. Salvation comes through, well, it comes through faith, but it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that we have it. It's not from our works. It's not something we can run around the church 1,000 times and say, God, look what I did. It's not because we can deserve it. It's by grace. By grace. And notice that's why the verse doubles down. It says it's not of ourselves. And then it says it again. It's not a result of works, so that we can't say, look at what I did. You know a lot of Christians hate that? Actually, our sin natures don't like the freeness of grace. We don't like it. We want to do something. We want to work for salvation. That's why you have a lot of pastors up in the pulpit preaching, you got to go do this, 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 get baptized, you got to walk the aisle, you got to give the church money before you can be saved. Why? Because their sin nature doesn't like the freeness of God's grace. That's why. Hey, I didn't write the book. He wrote it. Not me. I'm just explaining to you how he decided to give it to us. Because he wanted to. It was because, not because of what we could give him or offer him, it was because of his grace. That's why. And the best place to understand grace is in this verse right here, by the way. Right here. This is the best. Because the first thing you notice is the word for. For. Well, usually when you see the word for, it's an explanation of something that came before. Right? Well, look what came before. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's a good start. I mean, that's what we got. That's what we're dealing with, right? That's the position that we talked about of the entire human race. Dead. And by the way, this is the doctrine of total depravity. That's what this is. If you ever heard of those words, whatever, that's what they're talking about. It means you're dead in your sins and you're incapable of doing anything to get out of that position. That's what that means. Total you're totally depraved in your position. And the reason I say unable to make your condition better is because this is actually, we're actually incapable to do anything better, or actually, we're hostile towards God. Let's go a step further. Right? Romans 8, 7. Look at this. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Unable. Totally depraved. John 6:44 is another one. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You need Jesus to help you to get to him. Isn't that amazing? I know a lot of times you feel, or we feel, maybe like you came to Jesus on your own. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Look at all the bumps on your head you got before that point. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's guiding you. He's directing you. He's drawing you to him through the circumstances of life, is what he's doing. You didn't do anything on your own. You just happened to stumble on the salvation verse maybe on your own. But let's talk about the grace of God all the way up to that point, and even at that point, right? And then you go down to verse 4 in Ephesians. See, this is the start. And then here's the contrast. You were dead, look, but God. We just stop right there. You were dead, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So, I just want to mention two words in this verse. The first one is mercy. It's a good word because it means concern expressed for someone in need. That's basically what the word means. You ever look at somebody and you had a thought you were concerned about something? You know, you wanted to fix it. You wanted to help them. You saw something in that you wanted to take action. That's the word mercy. You had mercy on them, right? And they didn't deserve the mercy. You just saw something that you wanted to address. Something inside of you, right? God knows our needs. He was concerned about it, and he wanted to do something about it. He knew we were lost. He knew we failed, and he knew we had no way to get back to him. He should have written us off, right? Considering what sin does, but he didn't. Look at Romans 5:10 really quickly. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So, sin didn't slow him down. Why didn't he write us off? Because of his grace. Mercy is one of those things. And by the way, mercy is tied to grace. Mercy is tied to grace. So that's the first word. The next word that I wanted you to see is love. Love. So God shows us mercy, or you could say compassion is another word for that, and love. And we didn't deserve it, but you realize that we're called to think like God. We're called to have the same grace that God has towards us, towards other people. We're called to have the same mercy and love towards other people that he has for us. So, you can't do that on your own. You need God for that, by the way. But that's what I wanted to show you, because it's not like grace is just out of thin air. No, it's because of who and what God is. Is why we have salvation. It's why we have been saved. And look at the most important part of this. Not only was he gracious, compassionate, and he loved us, but look how you receive it. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. Well, that makes actually a lot of sense, because if there's nothing you can do for it and it's free, you have to receive it some way. You can't work for it. You don't deserve it. But God needs to get it to you. So what does he say? Just believe. Just have faith. That's it. A lost person, all they can do is trust in Christ for their salvation. That's all they can do. That's it. So there you go. And we're actually out of time. See, I always notice when people start getting twitchy and stuff like that, and especially we got a lot of food in there. I'm sure it's coming through the door. Everybody's thinking, shut up, Pastor, let's go eat. I got it. But I hope I got across why you have salvation as an option. It's because God chose to get it here because He loves you and He has compassion for you. So with that being said, let's go ahead and go eat. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the message. Thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for ultimately for Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and then turned around and gave us the gift of salvation. We thank You for the message, and we just pray today that people accept the gift through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.